I was born in 1966, so I was 4 years old when the first Earth Day happened. To this day, it stands as the largest single protest in history. Over 20 million people took part in the first Earth Day. I don't remember participating in the first Earth Day, but what I do remember from that time in my life in the 70s is my mom taking me walking along the ditches beside the rural country roads to pick up trash. I'd have a garbage bag, and I'd keep a lookout for beer cans because I could save them up and take them to the recycling center in town, trading them for spending money. Sometimes I found really old cans, not aluminum, but tin, brands of beer that don't exist anymore. I thought they were cool, so I had a whole collection of them stacked in my bedroom. Looking back now, I must have looked a little odd, a 10-year-old having a beer can collection in their room. But then it was rural Montana. The habit of walking and picking up garbage stuck with me. I love going for long walks along the water, along the East River and Brooklyn Bridge Park near my apartment, or out at Rockaway Beach, my favorite beach in New York City. I don't see much aluminum beer cans anymore. Now what I see is plastic. I'll often walk along the beach where the high tide mark is, because that's often where shells are left at high tide. And I find pretty shells, and I also find all kinds of plastic. I used to bring a plastic bag to pick up the plastic, but now I just know there'll be a plastic bag there. So I walk along till I find a plastic bag, and then put all the pieces I'm picking up in the plastic bag. The same is true of the high tide pools throughout Brooklyn Bridge Park. They're just full of plastics and styrofoam. I picked up a representative sample this morning for my morning walk with Walt. There's a Dasani water bottle from Coca-Cola, Gatorade, and a couple of plastic Starbucks cups with straws. And this was what was just easy to grab. I didn't like climb over fences and go down to the actual tide pools where there's lots of it. These environmental issues were not, of course, concerns of the early followers of Jesus we read about in the scripture tonight. Yet it's not hard to make the imaginative leap from their response to Jesus' invitation to follow to our invitation to follow. We follow Jesus today, and we're no less called to act justly so that we abide in Christ, as 1 John puts it. The ubiquitous presence of plastics today has a lot to do with the value of personal convenience, something our culture seems to say we have an inalienable right to, just as the Declaration of Independence, right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It makes me happy to have a convenient single-use plastic. Those water bottles or iced coffee glasses that I use sometimes, and so many other insidious places where plastic, like the snake in the book of Genesis, whispers to us, buy convenience. Doesn't God want you to be happy? A famous megachurch pastor once wrote a book translating Jesus' Beatitudes into an American accent, calling his book the Be Happy Attitudes. In 1 John, acting justly is abiding in Christ. And acting sinfully literally means missing the mark, ending up abiding in injustice. That's the juxtaposition 1 John gives us. Yet the truth is, then and now, we have a foot in each. We are, as Dr. King put it so well, tied in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We act justly in all the ways we're able, and still we find ourselves caught in systems of injustice, missing the mark we know ourselves to be right. 1 John's solution to all this lies, I believe, in that we are called God's beloved, God's chosen ones. The word beloved in Greek is agapetos, which is used 10 times in 1 John. And its root word, love, which is in Greek agape, is used 52 times. Fun fact, This totals a full one-fifth of all the uses of these words in the entire New Testament, and 1 John is just one-fiftieth of the New Testament in terms of length. So it tells you this is an important clue to what's at the center for John. The early Christians made something particular of this word, as agape was not really used in classical Greek. So they creatively adopted this word when they were talking about the experience of following Jesus in order to say something new about love. That this kind of love was spontaneous, that it was unmerited, not because someone else has done something and then deserves it. That it's a creative love, a love flowing from God to the world and to us, so we might in turn love one another in the same way. You might remember that the first use of beloved comes when God identifies Jesus as my beloved at Jesus' baptism by John. That is one core model of this love, that God calls Jesus beloved, and because we belong to Jesus and his way as his disciples, we too are called beloved of God. But it's not just we who are beloved by God. We are loved by God within the context of God's expansive love for the whole world, as described in what is perhaps the most famous passage in the New Testament, John chapter 3, verse 16. You've seen the guy in the end zone at football games probably holding up the sign, John 3, 16. And the famous opening words of that verse are, "For God so loved the world." That's the center of it all. God loved the world, so God sent Jesus, so that the whole world could be transformed by his love. Here we see God's love, God's agape, first offered to the world, to the cosmos, as it reads in Greek. So not just planet Earth, but the whole mass of everything that's created. So one might put it this way, we are beloved by God so that we might chime in with God's work of loving the world. So what does this look like in the context of environmental disaster? Well, I think we need to protest like Earth Day was invented to do. This year the focus is on planet versus plastics. So go take their plastic pollution quiz on their website, earthday.org, and sign their petition to phase out plastics. Yet in everyday life, I think my mom is a pretty good example of chiming in with God's work of loving the world. Her going for walks and bending over to pick up trash shows the posture of loving the world just as God does. 1 John teaches us to be beloved of God is to live within, to abide in God's love for the world. So happy Earth Day, friends. Know this day that you and all of creation are beloved. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's and we'll hold silence together then. When I ring the bell, you're invited to share your stories or experiences sparked by the scripture text and by my reflections. We tell stories at St. Lydia's because Jesus told stories, and through stories we come to know each other more deeply. And we share our own stories and experiences, but don't praise or critique what others have said, only sharing out of what we ourselves know. So we begin in silence.